If you call that socialism, so be it.
Wendell Potter, former executive, former chief spokesperson for Cigna and Humana. His book is called Deadly Spin, an insurance company insider speaks out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Democracy Now! Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. The time is 6 o'clock. It's time once again for Off the Wall. And Grim Trevor, the program is off the hook. Oh, no, it's not off the hook. It's off the wall. I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong place. There is no off the hook this week. How about that? But there is off the wall this week, and this week's off the wall is particularly interesting because we're going to be focusing on a topic that is basically being discussed by a bunch of people in the news, all over the place, in fact, and it's going to be affecting me personally and affecting a number of other people personally. And in fact, tonight we have a special guest is joining us. Hold on a second. Hold on. I'm going to introduce you. Kyle is joining us from Seattle. And basically, we've heard Kyle's voice many times as we travel in various parts of the world. And Kyle, are you vacuuming now?
Oh, hello? E?
Yeah. Tell me you're not vacuuming on the radio.
Oh, sorry. I got to clean up. Got a lot of things, a lot of irons in the fire right now.
I realize that, but did you maybe think that, you know, on the radio, a vacuum probably isn't the best sound to have in the background?
Yeah, well, cleanliness is godliness around here, okay?
Well, godliness isn't something we strive
almost
for either.
I'm almost done with this section. Hold on.
Oh, boy. You know, this is insane. Well, at least we can still hear the theme a little bit.
Get
the apartment clean. I guess that's more important than talking about what we have to talk about tonight. It's only a matter of national safety.
Yeah. All right. Let me just finish up this corner.
Sure. Okay. Kyle's finishing vacuuming. Maybe I should clean up around here too. Is that something that does need to be done? Actually, you done?
Right.
Okay. Wow. All right. I wasn't expecting all that. You're cleaning up your place. That's good. I'm glad you're doing that. I know you've been doing some amazing infrastructure type things in your apartment. You want to briefly tell us what you accomplished? Because I thought this was pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I built a little surge protector with a ground wire and goes out the window to a lightning rod, which was only installed for the laundry room. I'm above the laundry room.
Well, you have some kind of electrical fault in your whole apartment building, right?
Yeah, basically nobody has a third prong. Some people have the outlets with the third prong, but that third prong doesn't do anything.
It's an unfortunate condition to be in, not having that third
prong.
And
they're not required to do anything about it because it's a 100-year-old building.
Mm-hmm.
Great, but it's not so good when you need a ground.
Right. So how did you solve this problem?
Went to Home Depot. Any hardware store
would have
done.
You can't say brand names.
I got contractor grade electrical stuff.
Uh huh.
And I ran a plug that does two prongs into the wall, which is neutral and hot. And then I ran that through some conduit to a little two plug outlet, which is also, you know, like contractor stuff, you know, that you would install in a wall.
Right.
In this case, I just have it coming to the end of the two prongs that are going to the wall. But in that junction box, I added a third wire so that in my little two-plug box, I have a ground wire. But that ground wire doesn't go back to the building's wall. It goes out my window to a lightning rod, which is part of what I gather is for the laundry room. And I just got a ground wire clamp from the hardware store,
uh-huh.
And that clamp is clamping on my my third wire. So now my electronics are going into my customized surge protector, and I have ground. I tested it, and it looks pretty good, and everything's working properly.
That's amazing. But you also did something else with your coffee table, which I think is pretty incredible.
Oh, yeah. This is something my friend Brainsmoke, he helped engineer. And
Brainsmoke, that sounds like a Dutch name.
Yeah, Brainsmoke.
Okay.
Yeah, he's one of my friends from Holland.
Right.
He participates in the Rev Space out there in The Hague, and he's a student and a designer. He actually did all the graphics for ETH0 and the logo design for HAR. And he does all kinds of highly technical stuff, but he enjoys doing artistic stuff sort of as a recreational or sort of fun endeavor. And he designed this this project where basically, well, it's called the Lac Rack, and you basically can buy a table from IKEA, and then you can install a...
That's two stories. That's two stories you said. Now, we can't say Home Depot. We can't say IKEA because that would be tantamount to endorsing them. We can say Home Depot-like places, IKEA-like places, or pretty much any place.
Yeah, pretty much. You customize a coffee table that's got 19 inches between the legs.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a particular store that I believe I mentioned that happens to have a table that fits these dimensions, mm-hmm. and what you can do is just put a Ethernet switch in the bottom of it. So I now have a LAC rack. You can check it out. It's there's a wiki, lacrack.org.
How do you spell LAC rack?
LACKRACK.
Okay, and org. It just looks incredible to have all this functionality in what's a coffee table, right?
Right, right, and it's a little bit lower. It's about half the size of my other desk, so I can sit on the ground and actually work at eye level on computers and stuff like that. Because in my home office here, there's no bench. I would love to have like a lab bench, where you stand at a terminal to use the computer. But in my case, it makes more sense to go lower. So mm-hmm. You got a LAC rack now.
All right. Well, that's good to know, and it's inspiration, I think, to a lot of people to make their networks, make their electricity work better and look nicer as well. But that's not what we're here to talk about tonight. Tonight we have a rather pressing issue that many people are discussing, and that we've discussed amongst ourselves, and I think we basically have come to a decision. And should I just go out and tell the folks the decision that you and I have reached?
Oh. I think you should. If it's what I think it is, that's a pretty big decision.
Well, it is. I think it is what you think it is. I'm pretty sure, anyway. And if it's not what you think it is, it's what I've decided for myself, and perhaps...
Absolute. I'm willing to say that whatever you've come up with or you're going to say is probably very close in line with how I'm feeling at this stage in the game.
Well, it basically involves the new TSA security plan. Now, as we tend to do in the wintertime, as I've done almost every wintertime in recent memory, I journey over to the Chaos Communications Congress, which takes place over in Berlin. And this week, you and I are actually traveling to Scandinavia beforehand. We're going to the northernmost part of Norway, and we're going to experience a week of darkness and all kinds of fun things like that. And by the way, if any listeners in Norway or Sweden or Denmark are around, please contact us, otw@2600.com. We'd like to meet up, have a little tour of your town, perhaps, and hang out and share stories and things like that. But for us to get over there, we have to go past the TSA agents. And as many people have become aware, there's a new type of security screening that's in place now. That's the full body scan, and that basically does backscattering, X-rays that pretty much leaves nothing to the imagination as far as the probing eyes of the TSA agents. They can see under your clothes and all that kind of thing. More of concern to me, though, is the health issue. And hearing reports that nobody really knows how dangerous this could be, and the jury is still out on whether or not this kind of thing is something that you really should do. So the alternative is to have a really aggressive physical search. And basically, I think this is what we're talking about as far as decision. I've reached the decision myself that I'm opting to be groped instead of going through the machine. And I think, Kyle, is that something that you're opting for as well?
Yes, I've actually I've maintained my position on full-body groping for quite a while now. And it's now come to a head. This is it, where you have to declare your preference for groping. And, I'm comfortable. I've prepared myself for quite a while, but to actually... be forced into a position where you have to say this.
Yeah, I mean, really, I don't know what started this.
Go ahead.
Was there somebody who tried to blow himself up in his groin or something? I mean, that was the underwear bomber, but I don't think that would have been caught by groping somebody's genitals. I don't think that's how you would have found it. And I honestly don't know of a single terrorist who has stopped at the gate by searching or by going through a machine or anything like that. I've never heard of a case like that. I've heard of all kinds of scares where they've lost track of who's gone through and who hasn't gone through, or they find a package that has a puppy in it or something and they don't know what it is, so they blow that up. But this is something that is unprecedented, and it's really I think the groping part is what's brought a lot of people over the edge, where they say, okay, you know what, that's enough. I've had it. I've had it with all of the rights that have been given away since 9/11. I've had it with all these crazy hysterical reactions of the authorities to nothing.
That's the real issue here, I think, is that you've got all of this this stuff working up, and yeah, it's in the back of our minds, and then now you give us mystery box A, which is bad, and manhandling B, which is also bad, and it just kind of makes you look through that file folder in the back of your mind about all the stuff that's been building up, and you start to say, all right, time to demonstrate, time to get out there, this is not going to happen, it doesn't fly, no pun intended.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, it's quite possible that you won't fly if you don't agree to this. I'm not sure. We're flying out of JFK, and JFK is one of the airports that is that definitely has this. And basically, I think that means that we either have a good shot at going through the machine, or we might get selected at random. I'm not sure if everybody goes through the machine. That's what I'm wondering. I have not yet been able to figure that out.
Basically, they try to cattle prod you through it, and if you refuse, then they give you the manual option. This has funny parallels to the whole film thing, you know, where I don't want my film x-rayed. Please manually inspect my film. Well, now it's people.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, go on.
Well, actually, I'm looking at a story now that was just posted a couple of days ago concerning somebody who had an instance like this where they had to make a decision. I'd like to read this story. This took place in San Diego.
I think I know this story.
Yeah, it's making the rounds on the net.
Yeah, we were talking about this. I was with a couple of buddies this weekend.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, go on.
Well, it took place between 5:30 and 6:30 a.m. on the 13th of November. In Terminal 2 of the San Diego International Airport, in case you want to take the kids over there and point it out and say, wow, this is where history was made. This was written about 2.5 hours after the events transpired. And you and I, Carl, we went through some rather traumatic experiences coming back into this country from Canada. And I know 2.5 hours afterwards, you're still kind of shaking a little bit. So for somebody to actually write all this down that soon after something like this happened, it's a testament to their determination.
Test of the nerves too, and you know what, you got to do it these days. That's what you got to do. You got to put it down on paper, and you know, despite how it makes you feel, get an accurate account of it, because people need to hear this.
Right, and maybe we'll get to talk about that a little bit more, because I know we didn't talk about it enough when we got back from Canada. So we might delve into that a little bit as well. And you know what, this is something that's amazing to me personally. I figured out how to use the phone conferencing system, so we can actually have Kyle on the phone and take calls at the same time. And that to me is like discovering fire, which I only discovered last week. Okay, here's the. Here's the TSA encounter at San Diego International Airport. This morning, I tried to fly out of San Diego International Airport, but was refused by the TSA. I had been somewhat prepared for this eventuality. I have been reading about the millimeter wave and backscatter X-ray machines and the possible harm to health, as well as the vivid pictures they create of people's naked bodies. Not wanting to go through them, I had done my research on the TSA's website prior to traveling to see if San Diego had them. From all indications, they did not. When I arrived at the security line, I found that the TSA's website was out of date. San Diego does, in fact, utilize backscatter X-ray machines. I made my way through the line toward the first line of quote-unquote defense, the TSA ID checker. This agent looked over my boarding pass, looked over my ID, looked at me, and then looked at my ID again. And after that, he waved me through. San Diego is still operating metal detectors, so I walked over to one of the lines for them. After removing my shoes and making my way toward the metal detector, the person in front of me in line was pulled out to go through the backscatter machine. A lucky person. After asking what it was and being told, he opted out. This left the machine free, and before I could go through the metal detector, I was pulled out of line to go through the backscatter machine. When asked, I half chuckled and said, "I don't think so." And at this point, I was informed that I would be subject to a pat-down, and I waited for another agent. a male agent, it was a female who had directed me to the backscatter machine in the first place, came over and waited for me to get my bags and then directed me over to the far corner of the area for screening. After setting my things on a table, he turned to me and began to explain that he was going to do a standard pat-down. I thought to myself, great, not one of those gropings like I've been reading about. After he described the pat-down, I realized that he intended to touch my groin. After he finished his description, but before he started the pat-down, I looked at him straight in the eye and said, "If you touch my junk, I'll have you arrested." He was a bit taken aback and informed me that he would have to involve his supervisor because of my comment. We both stood there for no more than probably 2 minutes before a female TSA agent, apparently the supervisor, arrived. She described to me that because I had opted out of the backscatter screening, I would now be patted down, and that involved running hands up the inside of my legs until they felt my groin. I stated that I would not allow myself to be subject to a molestation as a condition of getting on my flight. The supervisor informed me that it was a standard administrative security check and that they were authorized to do it. I repeated that I felt what they were doing was a sexual assault and that if they were anyone but the government, the act would be illegal. I believe that I was then informed that if I did not submit to the inspection, I would not be getting on my flight. I again stated that I thought the search was illegal. I told her that I'd be willing to submit to a walk through the metal detector, as over 80% of the rest of the people were doing, but I would not be groped. The supervisor then offered to go get her supervisor. I took a seat in a tiny metal chair next to the table with my belongings and waited. While waiting, I asked the original agent who was supposed to do the pat-down if he had many people opt out, to which he replied, none, or almost none. I don't remember exactly. He said that I gave up a lot of rights when I bought my ticket. I replied that the government took them away after September 11th. There was silence until the next supervisor arrived. A few minutes later, the female agent slash supervisor arrived with a man in a suit, not a uniform. He gave me a business card identifying him as David Silva, Transportation Security Manager, San Diego International Airport. At this point, more TSA agents, as well as what I assume was a local police officer, arrived on the scene and surrounded the area where I was being detained. The female supervisor explained the situation to Mr. Silva. After some quick back and forth that I didn't understand or hear, I could overhear Mr. Silva say something to the effect of, "Then escort him from the airport." I again offered to submit to the metal detector, and my father-in-law, who was nearby, also tried to plead for some reasonableness on the TSA's part. The female supervisor took my ID at this point and began taking some kind of report with which I cooperated. Now, once she had finished, I asked if I could put my shoes back on. I was allowed to put my shoes back on and gather my belongings. I asked, "Are we done here?" It was clear at this point that I was going to be escorted out, and the local police officer said, "Follow me." I followed him around the side of the screening area and back out to the ticketing area. I apologized to him for the hassle, for which he replied that it was not a problem. I made my way over to the American Airlines counter, explained the situation, and asked if my ticket could be refunded. The woman behind the counter furiously typed away for about 30 seconds before letting me know that she would need a supervisor. She went to the other end of the counter. When she returned, she informed me that the ticket was non-refundable, but that she was still trying to get a supervisor. And after a few more minutes, she was able to refund my ticket. I told her I had previously had a bad experience with American Airlines and had sworn never to fly with them again, and I would once again be willing to use their carrier because of their helpfulness. Now, at this point, I thought it was all over. I began to make my way to the stairs to exit the airport when I was approached by another man in slacks and a sport coat. He was accompanied by the officer that had escorted me to the ticketing area and Mr. Silva. He informed me that I could not leave the airport. He said that once I started the screening in the secure area, I could not leave until it was completed. Having left the area, he stated, I would be subject to a civil suit and a $10,000 fine. I asked him if he was also going to fine the six TSA agents and the local police officer who escorted me from the secure area. After all, I did exactly what I was told. He said that they didn't know the rules and that he would deal with them later. They would not be subject to civil penalties. I then pointed to Mr. Silva and asked if he would be subject to any penalties. He's the agent's supervisor. He directed them to escort me out. The man informed me that Mr. Silva was new and he would not be subject to penalties either. He again asserted the necessity that I return to the screening area. And when I asked why, he explained that I may have an incendiary device, and whether or not that was true needed to be determined. I told him that I would submit to a walk through the metal detector, but that was it. I would not be groped. He told me that their procedure is on their website, and therefore I was fully informed before I entered the airport. I had implicitly agreed to whatever screening they deemed appropriate. I told him San Diego was not listed on the TSA's website as an airport using advanced imaging technology, and I believed that I would only be subject to the metal detector. He replied that he was not a webmaster. And I asked then why he was referring me to the TSA's website if he didn't know anything about it. I again refused to re-enter the screening area. The man asked me to stay put while he walked off to confer with the officer and Mr. Silva. They went about 20 feet away and began talking amongst themselves while I waited. I couldn't overhear anything, but I got the impression that the police officer was recounting his version of the events that had transpired in the screening area, which was my initial refusal to be patted down. After a few minutes, I asked loudly across the distance if I was free to leave. The man dismissively held up a finger and said, "Hold on." I waited. After another minute or so, he returned and asked for my name. I asked why he needed it. I reminded him that the female supervisor slash agent had already taken a report. He said that he was trying to be friendly and help me out. I asked to what end. He reminded me that I could be sued civilly and face a $10,000 fine, and that my cooperation could help mitigate the penalties I was facing. I replied that he already had my information in the report that was taken, and I asked if I was free to leave. I reminded him that he was now illegally detaining me and that I would not be subject to screening as a condition of leaving the airport. He told me that he was only trying to help. I should note that his demeanor never suggested he was trying to help. I was clearly being interrogated. And that no one was forcing me to stay. I asked if I tried to leave. If he would have the officer arrest me. He again said that no one was forcing me to stay. I looked him in the eye and said, "Then I'm leaving." He replied, "Then we'll bring a civil suit against you," to which I said, "You bring that suit," and walked out of the airport. Wow. What a story. I don't know if I'd have the stamina to do all of that, but hats off to this guy for actually hanging in there and standing up to all these people and all this craziness. And of course, now this story is being distributed all throughout the internet, and all kinds of people are taking its side. I just wonder how many other people are being victimized as a result of this insane policy.
I absolutely agree with the position this guy took. And as I said, this was a topic of discussion amongst a couple friends of mine. We were out sharing a meal, and we ended up talking about some of these ludicrous rules that they're imposing now. And somebody mentioned this story, and I didn't read it off the news. I just heard it from friends, and it's been tossed around a little bit. And absolutely, like the stamina that it takes to talk to these quote authority figures in these situations is a requisite for getting out of there and being able to reflect on it and write it down like he has so well. So it's pretty impressive, and I'll tell you what, I'm right there with him. I would do the same thing, and I don't know.
So we're not going to Scandinavia, are we? Because if this kind of scene transpires, we're going to get escorted from the airport and have civil suits.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. You know, I love traveling, and I'm really looking forward to the trip, and well, of course, CCC is a lot of fun and a lot of important ideas. And
yeah, but we have the opportunity to be dragged into a courtroom. How can we resist that?
Well, yeah, we can't pass that up.
No, I guess
I got to tell you, it's not looking too enticing to fly on commercial flights. I'm personally not directly a member of the transnational capitalist class, so I don't have my own plane, and I'm curious what sorts of standards are imposed upon them. I was asking, there's a local airfield here, because a couple of my friends, they fly on local flights through Seaport, which is a small airline,
mm-hmm.
And apparently the TSA has no presence at smaller airports. The customs agents are obviously there, because it is an international field, a BFI,
right.
Boeing Field International. But, you know, I just wonder, you know, if you fly commercially, how much are you going to have to put up with before you get fed up and don't want to fly and don't want to travel? And what is this doing to us economically? Because it's important to travel in some circumstances.
Not just economically, but culturally as well, to be able to share different ideas and experiences and things like that. I mean, the things that we got out of going over to the Balkans and various other places that we've been to, imagine all of that not happening because of this moronic policy that they put in place that basically deters people from wanting to go through the whole experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, business travelers are stressed out enough. I don't think they're going to put up with this too much longer. And really, you know, people trying to have vacation or just to go and see and connect with other parts of the world. It's not, those enlightened folks are probably not going to be into it either. So it's it's sort of a statement I'm considering following in my own life is basically, you know, I'm not going to fly commercially anymore. And I don't know what the alternative is.
Yeah, I'm trying to, does that just mean cruise ships or private planes? You know, you got to have a Learjet to get across the ocean.
Yeah, we're going to have to fly our own aircraft or something like that. Cause this is getting ridiculous. And, you know, if you own the plane, then obviously, you know, if you decide you want to, bring on explosives or something, that's your call. But that's the thing, is that these are commercial aircraft, and they're regulated and all that, so a private passenger's decision to bring on explosives, it's not okay.
Yeah, but you know, this whole thing is just so deeply rooted in stupidity. For instance, do you know that pilots aren't allowed to bring liquids onto the airplane? They can't bring a bottle of water. These are the guys that are aiming the airplane. They could crash it into whatever they want, but somehow the TSA feels that if having a bottle of water, they might do something bad with that, you know, so we can't trust them. The pilot, for God's sake, you know, where does it end?
Yeah, and I mean, I like flying. I like the ability it gives me to see different parts of the world. I'm an enthusiast. I like machines and different manufacturers. I like the whole industry. I think it's incredible. It's amazing what humans can do. But it, you know, to impose this kind of stuff on people, it's just a real deterrent. And
but Kyle,
isn't this just another example?
Of what humans can do. It's just not a positive thing that humans can do. It's a negative thing that humans can do. But how much will people take? How much are people going to sit back and just allow their rights to be taken away from them and humiliated and abused and have their privacy completely compromised? How much before people rise up and say, that's it, enough? And I think this might be it. I think this might be the thing that really drives people to say, this is not working, this is stupid, and we're doing it our way, not your way.
Hey, a couple things struck me in that article. You know, all these fines, and, you know, when you buy a ticket, they don't advertise that, you know, when they're branding it to you, flying and stuff. It's not that they don't say, you know, hey, you know, come take this trip and you could be subject to this fine.
Right.
You know, it's all friendly and all nice when you're participating in the industry. And then what? The reality, the street level, is you end up having to deal with some overpaid or whatever they are, overbraked bureaucrat with a tool belt and some guns or something, and they're standing there telling you they're going to take you to court.
Right, they're definitely not overpaid. I'll give them that.
I'm so sorry, but you people are misled.
Yeah.
Whatever industry you think you're running, whether it's you lease planes or you sell fuel to commercial airline companies, all of you put together, you're very misled because your customers are always right, and I think that's been forgotten.
Well, let's look at this from another point of view, too. First of all, they're not overpaid. They're definitely not overpaid. They're, you know, basically minimum wage people, which tells a story of how much training they must have. But imagine this is your job. Your job is now to go and grope total strangers who don't want to be groped. I mean, that must be a special kind of hell as well. And the policies aren't coming from these poor saps. They're coming from people way up in office buildings someplace that think that this is the way to do things, and they have no clue whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree. I mean, overpaid from the standpoint of a lot of them aren't doing anything. I mean, I flew back recently from a small airport in Wisconsin, and there was a huge array of machinery and stuff basically blocking the entrance from the airport to the ticket counter. Uh-huh. So you had nothing but TSA scanners and things before you could even see the ticket desk to check in. And there was nothing but TSA officials, I'd say, like, you know, 20 of them, but you know, because it was late at night, there were more TSA employees than there were passengers. And the same deal at the security screening checkpoints. There's just a lot of people working. I mean, they were joking about who's going to take out the trash, and you know, basically, like, there's five people to take out the trash, and they're juggling around whose responsibility it is. You know, I don't mean to say individually they're overpaid, but there's a lot of them doing a lot of nothing except groping people.
Yeah. Well, listen, we have a song dedicated to the TSA we're going to play, and then we'll come back. We're talking with Kyle out in Seattle about the new TSA groping policy. And we sort of, I guess we're not completely committed to being groped. I think I'm more leaning into being groped than you are right now, only because I just want to get on the damn plane and get it over with. But we might have a big fight on our hands later on, like sometime in December we're doing this. So stay tuned. We're going to talk more about this and hopefully take some phone calls as well.
I was detained by the TSA when I deplaned in the USA. They wanted to know everywhere I'd been, what I do for a living, and who are my friends. I don't play with the TSA.
I wanted to say,
it's none of your damn business. And I wanted to say, leave me alone. But I was afraid that they would ship me away. Guantanamo could never feel like home. They should take away my water. Well, I guess the airport vendors must get paid. I was detained by the TSA when I deplaned in the USA. They wanted to know everywhere I'd been, what I do for a living, and who are my friends. I don't play with the DSA. Set all people free. I was detained by the TSA when I deplaned in the USA. And it don't seem right in a land so free they would treat anyone like they treated me. But hey, they're the TSA. And if you live in Guantanamo Bay, then just sing them a song like this one day.
I wouldn't recommend
it. It's probably not a good idea. Don't play for the TSA.
Yeah, and that's a song by a duo known as Belis, basically their name is Belinda and Melissa Underwood. And yeah, kudos for that kind of outspokenness. Now, we're talking about the TSA. We're talking about various violations of our rights and how we plan on dealing with them. And one thing that some people are planning as a way to deal with this is National Opt-Out Day. And that's Wednesday, November the 24th, the day before Thanksgiving. Now, this is going to be very interesting. And we're asking people to forward this information as widely as possible, as it says on their website. But basically, what they're doing is they're opting out. It's a day ordinary citizens stand up for their rights, stand up for liberty, protest the federal government's desire to virtually strip us naked or submit to an enhanced pat-down that touches people's breasts and genitals in an aggressive manner. You should never have to explain to your children, remember, that no stranger can touch or see your private area unless it's a government employee, then it's okay. The goal of National Opt-Out Day is to send a message to our lawmakers that we demand change, we have a right to privacy, and buying a plane ticket should not mean that we're guilty until proven innocent. This day is needed because many people do not understand what they consent to when choosing to fly. Here are the details. You, your family, and friends traveling by air on Wednesday, November 24th, 2010, are a part of this, assuming you're doing that. And I know at least one friend who is traveling on that day, and he found that out with great dismay. The TSA says every day is opt-out day. You can opt out any time you fly. So that's something important to remember. You have the right to opt out of the naked body scanner machines, advanced imaging technology, as the government calls it. All you have to do is say, I opt out, when they tell you to go through one of the machines. You will then be given an enhanced pat-down. This is a right given to you by the TSA. On Wednesday, November 24th, this group also wants families to sit around the dinner table eating turkey? Well, you don't eat turkey on Wednesday, on Thursday, the day after. I don't know. Okay, maybe some people are doing that. Talking about their experience, what constitutes an unreasonable search, how forceful of a pat-down will we allow in certain areas of our body, that of our children, how much privacy will we be expected to give up for flying? And we hope that experience then propels people to write their member of Congress and the airlines to demand change. The government should not have the ability to virtually strip search anyone it wants without cause. The problem has been compounded to that in that if you do not want to go through the body scanner, the TSA has made the alternative perhaps even worse by instituting these enhanced pat-downs. There are reports from travelers across the country about how the TSA now touches the genitals and private areas of men, women, and children in a much more aggressive manner. We do not believe the government has a right to see you naked or aggressively touch you just because you bought an airline ticket. By saying I opt out when told to go through the body imaging machines and submitting to a pat-down, you're basically, opting out. But to be honest, it doesn't seem like you're opting out, really. It seems like you're kind of participating and being humiliated in various ways. There is no way to opt out of this, is there?
Yeah.
I don't see it. But if you want more information on Opt-Out Day, go to optoutday.com, OPTOUTDAY.com, and see where this stands. I think if enough people raise a fuss like our friend in San Diego did, I think that's going to make a lot more of a difference. And that's something that people really need to consider doing. It takes guts.
Hey, I really think this is going to catch on, too, because I've heard this in, you know, three or four places already. Usually that's a pretty good sign when people locally are talking about it and pretty concerned.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to try something tricky now. We're going to go into delay, and I'm going to take Kyle with me into delay. Hopefully this will work out nice and smoothly. And then we're going to actually try to take phone calls, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Tell us your thoughts on the TSA policy, whether you would submit to a search or whether you go through the backscatter machine or things like that. And hopefully this whole technology thing here at the station will work. Stand by.
Hi, this is Kate Bush. You're listening to WUSB 90.1 FM Radio, Free Long Island, where you should be.
And we're back. We're back in delay. And, of course, I'm never certain we're back in delay until I hear us come across and know for sure. And I have heard us come across. We are in delay. Kyle, welcome to delay.
Oh, I'm glad I made it. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're here. You're in delay. That's great. And that means you're coming across the phone. Now what we're going to try is the next technological miracle. Let's try and bring in a caller. And again, Kyle, I hope this works. Hold on.
Okay, I'm
going to hit this button. Again, our phone number is 631-632-9872. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall. No? Hang on.
I'm here.
You're here.
Still there?
Hang on. You have to hit the conference button. Okay, hold on. Okay, caller, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
And Kyle, are you with us?
Hello?
Oh, wow. I can't believe this worked. Okay, caller, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm calling from South Texas, where we don't often get to listen to things like this, so I lit a candle in the window.
Awesome.
And because I'm in a doctorate program in school right now, and we read the same article you're talking about the guy in San Diego, and that's just mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that they're going to tell him, you're not getting on a plane, but you need to finish the search, or we're going to sue you for $10,000.
Yeah, it's like there's one time I went into Canada, and I was with a friend of mine who wasn't allowed to go into Canada. He didn't realize this at the time. And we found out we weren't going to be let into the country, so we thought we could just turn around and go back, but they still searched us, even though we weren't going into the country. And that was kind of frustrating, because we were getting the search, but we weren't getting the benefits of the search. We were just getting turned around again and had to go back and not get anything for it. So, yeah, I can sort of see the frustration and anger there.
And the other thing I was going to talk about, and I know it's not tonight's show, but last week, do you mind if I ask you something about the whole pharmacy problem you had?
About the which?
Product that would be a decongestant that probably has a generic and you use it for seasonal.
Oh, yeah, well,
I'm not going to say a brand name.
You're actually referring to something that happened on the other radio show. Let me quickly sum up for people. I tried to buy, I'll say the brand name, Claritin D. I tried to buy that. And I was told that you have to show ID because apparently you can start a meth lab with the ingredients in Claritin D, which is information that now I know and I can work with. But what they wanted was ID for me, and I gave them my driver's license. Unfortunately, I gave them my expired driver's license, and they said they couldn't accept my expired one, even though it's obvious I'm not driving right there in the drugstore. I'm just showing this as ID. And I was just kind of baffled by the fact that their computer couldn't deal with the fact that the license was expired and treated me like I didn't exist as a result of that. Is that pretty much the story as you remember it?
What I was going to say is that I work with a pharmacist, and what that dealt with was the Combating Methamphetamine Act, or mm-hmm. Epidemic Act, of, I think, 2005. And so it does say that you have to have a government-issued ID, and what a lot of companies are doing is to minimize liability. They're requiring a valid ID, or they almost look for a reason not to sell it to you.
Uh-huh.
And then also the reason you couldn't buy the 20 tablets is because they have these daily and monthly limits.
Well, here's the thing. I could buy a package of 20. All right, and they didn't have the package of 20. So I said, okay, well, then give me two packs of 10. It's like, sir, you can only buy one package. Yeah, but I could buy one package of 20. You don't have the 20, so I want 2 times 10 is 20. Yes, sir, but it's 2 packages. The computer won't allow you to buy 2 packages. And I just had this endless loop conversation with a moron who then told me that it was the law that I had to carry ID at all times. So a drugstore clerk telling me what the law was of us having to carry national ID all the time, you know, it just goes to show how quickly people can be misled and start spouting nonsense.
Well, what's your opinion? Speaking of a national ID, what is your opinion on those passport IDs they're giving out for people who want to cross over, say, into Mexico? Don't worry about a passport. Just get this nationally issued ID. What do you think about
enhanced
that?
ID, yeah.
Yeah, they have that for Canada, too, I believe. The enhanced ID allows you to go back and forth across the border. I mean, obviously, there are things hidden in there. There's RFID technology and various things like that, like there is in the new passports as well. I don't really see it as any different than the passport itself. It just might be a way to speed the process up. But I don't trust any of the new ID schemes that they're coming up with.
I didn't have a chance to talk to you after the election, but one thing I thought was interesting, and this is coming from Texas, where no matter who I vote for, Republicans win. My voter registration card, I never got it. And I called and I asked them, and they said it was returned. And this is from a mailbox that I check every day. And it had the appropriate address on it and everything.
Interesting. Now, Kyle, you had something?
My parents live in a house of two. And they received 4 voter registration cards.
Wow, I don't know what they're up to. Now, Kyle, did you have something to add to this?
I wanted to speak to the medication thing and basically say, you know, I think it's an interesting statement that is fairly normal out here in Washington State. We have a pretty entrenched cottage industry of meth labs. But to hear about it over where you're at is kind of interesting and speaks volumes about the condition of our economy.
Industry. Yeah, we don't have the meth labs yet. It's a burgeoning industry, I believe, but I don't think it's started yet. Obviously, with this kind of knowledge being spread around, more people will get into it.
Yeah, well, it's a sad statement that you have to even consider that as a problem, trying to get your allergy meds.
Yeah.
And also, with with the voting registration card, I got a registration card too, which I don't know if I didn't quite get all of that.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was a little odd that I wasn't already registered.
That is interesting. Listen, sir, we're going to try to take another call. Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, take care. Let's try this again by taking another call. Hold on. I'm going to hit that button, and then I'm going to hit this button, and we have a new caller on the line. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
I'm doing okay. I'm actually in Port Jeff. I'm domestic.
Port Jefferson. Beautiful place.
Yeah, in the summertime, I guess it is.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. Now I can't wait to travel. I get to go visit my girlfriend 3 or 4 times a year. She lives in Japan, so I'm looking forward to this.
Uh-huh.
You don't get. Do you get a choice who gets to pat you down, or they don't do that?
I don't think it's not like going to a brothel. You can't just pick the one you want.
I
would.
Yeah, I'd go back to seconds if I could. But anyhow,
I'm with you.
Is this they're doing this for domestic flights and non-domestic flights?
Yes, they're doing it for any kind of flight that you can imagine. Well, I just thought of a possible solution, though. What if you took a train to Canada and then took a plane from Canada to Japan? Then you wouldn't have to go through the groping.
That's an idea. I have a friend of mine who's got a little bit more money than I do. He's got a lot more money than I do. He actually, I'm not going to say the name of the company, but there's a minimum that you can charter a jet. You know, you go in with 5 or 6 of your buddies, and you charter a jet, and you, I guess, I don't want to say, well, yeah, you bypass all that other nonsense, but yeah, not everybody can do that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Fractional jet ownership.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Fine. Okay, hackers will get together now and start purchasing jets so we can travel on our own terms.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Hey, it'll happen.
Want to throw that out there? I'll let you guys maybe get another phone call.
Okay, I'll try to get one more in. Thanks. Thanks for your call. Let's take one more. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Off the Wall. Why do I think it's Off the Hook?
Good evening, Emmanuel. This is Babson of Bulgaria.
Bulgaria, how you doing? You know, I'm so sad we didn't get to see you when we were over in the Balkans. We passed right by Bulgaria. I pointed out the window to Kyle and said, look, Bulgaria is over there somewhere.
But, I remember it. Next time, in case you figure out how to deal with the traveling trouble you were talking about earlier.
Uh-huh. All right, Yeah, you got to turn down the radio there. Okay.
Oh, yeah, drop down a little bit.
All right.
in case you figure out how to deal with the traveling troubles, you're welcome to come up over here again.
Yeah, well, you know, we might be playing something for the summer. Who knows? It's definitely possible. We liked Eastern Europe so much. It was an incredible place.
On the traveling shows you played, you saw something that looked like a very large rabbit from the train.
Do you remember that, Kyle?
I remember that.
That's not a rabbit. That's a hare. It's two different.
You're right. Yes, it is a hare.
Thank you for that.
It's kind of weird because it's in various languages. There's the two animals with different names, and in Bulgarian, it's only the one.
Wow.
It's
really?
The trouble in the translation of Alice in Wonderland, where there's both of them in the book and.
Oh, that's so good.
Wow, that's incredible. Listen, guys, I'm sorry to do this, but we're out of time. This has been an incredible conversation. And Kyle, I know we're going to talk about our interrogation going across the border. We're going to have to do that another time because there's so much to talk about as far as that little situation we went through.
Customs Border Control is doing, but we can save that. We'll have plenty of stories to tell.
And there'll be plenty more interrogations and searches and all sorts of things in our future. I know that.
They're our friends.
Yeah. Bobson, any last words from you in Bulgaria?
Well, I think the last words are going to be in a few hundred years. I don't plan to be dying just yet, so...
Okay. All right. That's not how I meant it, but okay, fine. That's good. You'll be around for quite some time.
Yeah, I hear that.
And hopefully we'll see you at one of the hacker gatherings sometime soon.
Maybe in Berlin someday, maybe not. I don't know. I have to figure out the getting of there, but if you have trouble trying to get here, it's gonna be less
right.
Well,
all right. Well, listen, thanks again for calling, and that's gonna just about do it for us here on this particular edition of Off the Wall. Kyle, I want to thank you very much for joining us this evening.
You're absolutely welcome, E, anytime. I'm so happy to have been given the opportunity.
And write to us, otw@2600.com, especially if you're in Scandinavia and you'd like to meet up with us sometime in December as we head into that dark part of the country and dark part of the world. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be back again next Tuesday night for another exciting edition of Off the Wall. Have a good night.
So many destination faces, going to so many places, where the weather is much better and the food is so much cheaper. Well, I help her with her baggage, for the baggage is so heavy. I hear the plane is ready by the gateway to take my love away. And I can't believe that you really must leave me. And it's getting me so. It's getting me so. I'd be much stronger. For the wheels are turning faster as I hear the winds are blowing. I know that she is leaving on a jet plane without the runaway. I can't believe that you really don't leave me. And it's getting me so. It's getting me so.